This is the User Adoption Podcast with your host, Henrik De Geer.
Who are you and what do you do?
My name's Paul Gamble. I'm a training consultant. I train mostly systems training through cloud-based applications.
Paul, how are you involved with user adoption?
Well, generally, my training is focused on the end user. Although there are occasions where I train administrators, etc., they're already sold on the benefits of the applications or the systems that they are employing. So my role basically takes effect with the end users, where I, not only do I have to train them to use the application, show them the best practice methodology of using applications, etc., I have to extol the benefits to them. One of the things I identified quite a while back, I've been involved in IT training for over 20 years. One of the things I identified early on was that whenever an organization was implementing some form of new tool, process, or application for use in their business, they were always focused upon the benefits of the company, the savings they were going to make, how quickly they would be able to turn around certain situations in dealing with customers, so they would focus on the benefits to the customers. There was very little focus on the benefits to the user. And it was just a case of, this is the system that's coming in, and you will use it. Which in some cases is fine, and in smaller organizations where the numbers are very close-knit, so it's a very small team, and they're probably very aware of the changes that are being made and why, etc. So they're probably on board. However, the larger the company is, I think getting that message across to the users is lost. Companies seem to think that the sales process is finished once they've purchased the application from the vendor, and it's far from finished. Sales process needs to continue with the users. You need to sell it to them. They've got to have the buy-in. If you're looking for return on investments on an application, you really need the buy-in from your users. And as I sort of identified that a long time ago. So as a consequence, early days of my training involvement, I always made the approach from the user's perspective. I tried to put myself into their shoes and understand what was happening, especially if they were coming from a legacy system and they were looking at a new system that was going to do the same thing but differently. And you always get your people in there who, I don't see what was wrong with the last system, the other system did this better than this system and so on, which technically they could be quite correct in what they're saying. So it was very much an empathy approach, if you like, with the users, so that I could actually put it to them from somebody who is at the same sort of level as them. So obviously I'm employed from an external company, so I didn't have any sort of influence or sway in the way that was dealt with. So I have tried to convince the companies that I've worked with to deal more closely with this aspect of training delivery. And that is for me personally to get more involved with the organization, to sort of start to live the way they operate so that I have the same sort of mindset when I'm delivering the training as the users. So they can see me as somebody who is there to help them through the process, etc. And something else that my notice was missing was information. There's a very poor communication process prior to a lot of organizations rolling out new systems. And I've been involved with a number of quite large rollouts of software applications, sometimes across many continents. And I found that the program information that's given out, what's happening and why, etc., is very limited. So as a consequence, you get people turning up into the training environment, not quite sure why they're there, not quite sure what the new system is going to do for them, etc. And I feel quite strongly that some form of communication program it's essential before you introduce anything new to your users. Start to drip feed it initially. This new tool is coming soon. It's going to do this for you. It's going to do that for you. Set up demonstrations in cafeteria areas, etc., just running videos of what the application does. Focus on the wins that's going to make their life easier and such like, so that hopefully by the time your users do turn up for a training event, they know why they're there. I've lost count of the number of times I've been in a training room and I've said to somebody, okay, we'll have the introductions, tell me who you are and why you're here and what you want to get from the day. And a lot of the time, the stock answer was, I'm here because my manager told me to come. And that's not really preparing them for the training. So I feel really strongly, as I say, from the user perspective, that they need to have more information. They need to have more information on the benefits to them, what it's going to do for their role. Okay, sometimes there's a bit of a, we're using new systems, it's going to reduce costs. Am I going to be needed in my role because more people can do things, fewer people certainly can do things a lot quicker? So it puts an element of concern in their minds. Another approach I take is that, especially these days, you're giving your workforce access to cutting-edge tools. And these are transferable skills. It shows your ability to use the cloud applications, mobile applications, etc. So if worst comes to worst and you do find you have to move on, you've got yourself armed with some pretty powerful and useful skills, which says a lot about the person, not just the type of job that you used to undertake.
Paul, what are the biggest successes and challenges with user adoption?
As I say, the biggest successes are when the users actually arrive for their training event and they know why they're there. Their expectations are set at a level that they understand it's going to be, what we're going to learn today is going to help them. It's going to help them perform their role better, quicker. The knock-on effect of that is going to be better results to their customers, whatever they may be. Primarily, a lot of the areas I've worked in the past have been around sales and marketing, etc. So there's always a customer result there, which, as all organizations who have a customer-facing role, one of their key points is their, especially these days with social media, etc., one of their key points is how they're perceived by their customers and the greater good out in the world today. As we all know, get bad service from somebody and it's out there in a flash and it's spreading like wildfire. Give good service to somebody and yes, you get a great thanks. You're more likely to be recommended to somebody, but it's never usually put as wide on social media platforms as bad service is. So as I say, getting the successes out there is important. And I've dealt with, it was a social care system rollout. And the organization or the authority, I should say, that we dealt with in the UK, they put into place a really good program of information building up to the implementation and go live of the system. They gave it a project name, so that we started off with posters dotted down saying Project Maximum is coming. And it started to raise the inquisitiveness of their staff, etc. And then they started having screenshots dotted around to say, typically, this is what a new contact record would look like or a new account record would look like and so on. And then they built into the process some lunchtime demos. Prior to any training rollouts, we would normally advise organizations to create a team of super users. Mm-hmm. So we would get these trained up in advance so that they could start to answer some of the simple questions and run demonstrations in lunch breaks, etc. Again, drip feeding this information and ramping it up. And so by the time we came to deliver the actual end user training to the social workers and staff, related staff, they came in knowing exactly why they were in that room that day. This was even getting this approach from attendees who were in the unions, representing the rank and file there, their staff, and even they were quite excited to see what the system was going to do for them. And that particular rollout with the local authority social care system was a roaring success, and it was one of the better ones we'd ever had in that respect. In terms of failures, I wouldn't quite say they've been failures, but some of the rollouts could have been better. We've had I've experienced a number of customers where we've had to go back in a couple of months later to do refresher training because the users have been using the system enough because they felt that the old ways were better and they've tried to keep doing things on a limited basis and staying away from the systems. Basically because it wasn't sold to them as it's the beneficial aspect to them. So we've had to revisit. Of course, that's more cost to the customer, of course. So whilst a lot of organizations tend to balk sometimes at the added cost that these programs may put onto a project, you've got to think about the long-term view, and investment is paramount. And especially these days where there's a lot of uncertainty in economies around the world, and organizations at every level are looking at saving money somewhere within their business. Training, unfortunately, and I'm sure any trainers listening to this will sympathize with me, that training is one of the first things that suffers. And it's not seen as an investment. But if you don't invest in your people, you'll get what you sell, basically. And you've got people who are disinterested, just plodding through the job and not really using any systems that you've implemented, etc., to the level that you need to really see the return on investment that you've put into this. So I wouldn't say I've seen absolute failures, but I've seen companies and organizations go through a difficult process where they've had to revisit the training aspect, should we say, when it could have been done better the first time.
Paul, what advice would you like to share with people working on improving user adoption?
Persevere. User adoption, I wouldn't say it's a new thing. It's been around a long time. But for a lot of companies that I've dealt with personally, getting into a project as early as possible. Training tends to be one of the last things that comes along within a project, and you spend some time on the sidelines, maybe involved with some of the discussions early doors, and working out a strategy for the training design, etc. But I would advise try and get involved in any implementation projects as early as you can. Try and sort of embed yourself into the company to a degree. Create relationships with key stakeholders. Create relationships with the representatives of the users. Try and advise them to set up a user group, an internal user group within their organization to represent the staff who will be using the systems so that they have a say in the way systems are applied and processes are re-engineered, which happens a lot in most organizations. But as I say, the thing is to try and persuade your customers to think about their staff, put themselves in their shoes. Try and set up this program of information if possible. If that's not possible, just keep relationships going with key stakeholders, reminding them of the benefits to the staff. And if you get a chance to speak to staff members, if you're ever on site and so on, try and speak to them, extol the benefits that they should reap from the implementation of new systems. As I say, traditionally, training is one of the things that comes in towards the end of any project. But I would say, if at all possible, try and get some involvement in the project early doors, even if you can get it written into the methodology so that you attend discovery workshops and things like that. That would certainly go a long way to helping a better understanding of how it will affect the users and how to approach the users on that aspect.
Paul, where can we learn more information about user adoption and your work on the subject?
Fortunately, I don't have any specific web pages, etc. I don't have a web presence in that respect. All my approach to user adoption, it's self implanted, if you like. It's just my crusade, so to speak. I would dearly like to be involved more in it and have a bigger say in user adoption. But I would suggest going on to Google, basically, having a Google round on the terms of user adoption, etc. There's a lot of information out there. There's this people out there who know far more about it than I do. I'm just a disciple of it, really. I'm not quite the guru, but I believe in, and I do have faith and I have belief in strong user adoption approaches to implementations of systems, etc. And all I can do is I can just try and encourage other trainers to take a similar approach. Obviously, if anybody wants to speak to me a bit more, share some of their information and experiences with me, I'm always open to that. And you can find me on LinkedIn. Just search for Paul Gemmell. I'm UK-based, and I would gladly spend some time exchanging information with you and experiences.
For more on this, visit useradoptionpodcast.com. Don't forget to please subscribe, rate, and review. And for a book about this, check out useradoptionbook.com. Tune in next week for the next episode. Thanks for listening.